The Second Amendment and issue of gun ownership is perhaps at their greatest point of focus after the succession of school attacks and the injuries and deaths which resulted from them. While the March for Our Lives voice has been strong, the voice of those who support the Second Amendment has an equal passion. That voice will be gathering in Trenton this Monday to oppose pending gun legislation currently under consideration in Trenton. With us now to discuss this rally and concerns which are the catalyst for it is the Executive Director of the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs and New Jersey's only sitting NRA board member, Scott Bach. How are you today, Scott?
Hey, Chris. Great to be back.
And the website for the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs is anjrpc.org. And yes, we have a link over at our page, so you don't have to remember all that. Let me give you the details about what is happening on Monday, first and foremost, from 9 until 11:30 a.m. approximately. Gathering place will be the Trenton War Memorial. It's a One Memorial Drive in Trenton. And if you go over to the association website, information, too, about parking. And you can check on, too, any possibility of a bus ride down. But there is also public transportation, New Jersey Transit, et cetera. As far as the rally, I mentioned the legislation. But as far as participating in the rally, what are, for someone who's never been this proactive, I mean, they've done they've made their donations, they've written their letters. But for someone who is going to be at a public event like this for the first time, just talk them through about some of the do's and the don'ts so that the message doesn't get convoluted by, as I like to say sometimes, the perpetration of idiocy sometimes.
Sure. Well, the first thing is there's going to be a lot of media there, and they will be looking for moments that they can use nationally to portray or misportray law-abiding gun owners. So there also may be hecklers and folks from the other side trying to harass and disrupt the rally. So it's important. There will be law enforcement there. It's important that we let them handle it and we don't take the bait. In particular, people who are bringing signs, the state police there have strict rules about what you can and can't bring there. They don't want any signs with any sticks or posts or poles of any kind. But pretty much, listen, it's going to be a peaceable gathering of a lot of gun owners who are very frustrated with the way things are going in Trenton. Gun owners are already among the most regulated in the United States in New Jersey. And, yet there is this constant press, no matter what, that, we can always do more. And, of course, that something more always impacts law-abiding citizens and criminals ignore it. So, listen, the rally is, we don't often do rallies, but at this point in time with the state's house controlled by anti-gunners, it's important that gun owners gather and speak with one resounding voice to let our lawmakers know that we are watching them, we're not going to make it easy or comfortable for them to take away our rights, and we're going to fight them each and every step of the way.
And there are quite a few pieces of legislation that have gone through and are still to go through, as I said, are under consideration in the state house. One is A2761, that's being sponsored by Assembly Majority Leader Lou Greenwald, Democrat, of course. It would restrict magazine capacity to no more than 10 rounds. And as you just said, Scott, too, the law-abiding gun owners are going to be the ones who are mandated to follow the laws. This doesn't mean if this bill were to become law that greater than 10-round capacity magazines would disappear. It would just mean it would be a criminal act to have one of those. But do you think criminals are going to care about that?
Of course not. I mean, the ironic thing about this is, let's talk about what this legislation actually does. It turns 1 million law-abiding citizens into criminals with the stroke of a pen. Most gun owners own magazines that are in excess of 10 rounds, okay, because the current legal limit in New Jersey is 15. So this touches 1 million people and turns them into criminals with the stroke of a pen, okay? And it's based on the delusion that criminals follow hardware bans. Criminals don't. They laugh at hardware bans. They ignore them. The only people who follow them are the law-abiding. And the ironic part of that is that it actually makes law-abiding less able to defend themselves. I mean, anybody who thinks in a home invasion, for example, that the thugs invading your home are going to limit themselves to 10-round magazines while you're forced to is delusional. Okay, this doesn't make anybody safer. All it does is it harasses and punishes New Jersey's 1 million law-abiding gun owners, who are not the problem to begin with. So it's very, very misguided, and yet there's no grandfathering. There's no way to make your property compliant right now. Your choices under the legislation are to destroy it, to surrender it, or to sell it probably at a loss from what you paid. So it's about headlines and feel good and the national gun ban agenda, but it's really not going to make anybody safer.
Hypothetical, with armed security now in schools at a growing rate, by the way, not just in the urban but also in the rural areas, would this magazine restriction apply to armed security, non-police department armed security?
Well, that's actually in flux right now. It is unknown. It certainly shouldn't. I mean, honestly, it shouldn't apply to anybody. Magazine limits are a total red herring, but it should not. And by the way, the same logic by which non-police security it shouldn't apply to, it also shouldn't apply to civilians. I mean, people need standard, and we call them standard capacity magazines, for the same reason that law enforcement does, because you might confront multiple assailants. Why should we have one hand or both hands tied behind our back when we are the ones who have to stop a threat? I mean, it really is, it's pretty unbelievable.
Now, the bill is A-1217. This is sponsored by Democrat Assemblyman John McKeon. It's called a risk protection order. And, well, your organization, among others, say it's basically you're guilty unless you can prove yourself innocent situation.
Right. What this bill does is it allows a secret suspension of Second Amendment rights and of firearm seizures with no advance notice or opportunity to be heard, otherwise known as due process. I mean, what it really does is it turns due process on its head, okay? And for that reason, it's absolutely unacceptable. I mean, we're talking about a fundamental constitutional right. And here's the big picture on this bill. The mistaken premise of this legislation is that if you think there's somebody that could do harm to themselves or others, that there's no mechanism for dealing with that now. And so the mechanism that this bill creates is it says, if you think there's someone who's at danger, you go to your local PD, you swear out the police department, you swear out an affidavit, then you take the affidavit into court, then you ask the court to intervene, then you wait and see if the court agrees with you and actually intervenes, and then the court has the ability to suspend somebody's Second Amendment rights and order seizure of firearms. So now let's just look at this logically, okay? If you think your neighbor is about to do something evil, do you A, write an affidavit, run into court, and ask the court, you know, in a slow, cumbersome run-to-court process, or B, do you call 911? No, if it's a true emergency, you should call 911, and police have expanded powers in an emergency to handle the situation. So if you have time to write an affidavit and run into court, you have time to notify the person who's the subject of this. So, you know, again, this thing is really, you know, will be abused. It's been abused in other states. It'll become a weapon in, you know, domestic settings where parties are divorcing. You know, he said, she said, there's no penalty for somebody just making stuff up, to suspend somebody's rights. Any kind of legislation like this that does not allow due process to the firearms owner, that pre-seizure due process is unconstitutional and will not stand.
Now, Scott Bach, who is executive director of the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs, he is also New Jersey's only sitting NRA board member. Website for the association, anjrpc.org. They are holding a rally this Monday in Trenton at the State House. Actually, the Trenton War Memorial. It's at 1 Memorial Drive in Trenton from 9 until 11:30 a.m. And you go over to the website to get more details about the rally as well as transportation possibilities and some guideposts for that as well. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. Have to jump through some of these kind of fast. A-1181 is a bill that would allow unaccountable health professionals to revoke a person's constitutional right to own a gun. Some would say, would this be a bill if it was better defined as far as what point is someone, could someone be declared a danger? If it was more precise than general, would 1181 be more acceptable?
Not really, because this allows unqualified people to make that determination. I mean, should a marriage counselor, a nurse or a social worker, which that includes, should they be able to stimulate the suspension of your gun rights and the seizure of your firearms? And listen, this bill started out a couple of sessions ago. It started out like the one we just discussed, where there was no notice. Okay, there was no pre-seizure due process. Now they've changed it so that there actually is due process, but it's really a stretch. And again, I ask, in an emergency, why wouldn't we just call 911 and have police deal with it with their expanded community caretaking powers instead of, you know, having this slow, cumbersome process, and also allowing questionable so-called professionals to make that determination? I mean, listen, clearly there are some people who should not have firearms, right? Okay, and we all agree on that. Where we disagree is how to address that. And we say, why create these tools that are just ripe for abuse? And why do you, you know, propose them without putting in any penalty for abusing the process when there's already an existing, there's already an existing method for dealing with it right now? So, I mean, we think it's a great overreach.
And there's also A2758 that would, believe it or not, add hindrance to getting a right to carry permit in New Jersey, with New Jersey being among, if not the most challenging state to get a right to carry permit. And A2757, these are both by Democrat Assembly Majority Leader Lou Greenwald. 2757 would require background checks on all private firearm transfers. And again, the website for the association, that's Scott Heads, the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs, have the details of that bill on their website as well. I mentioned in the introduction, Scott, about the March for Our Lives voice, which is impressive with its volume. Unfortunately, it's being co-opted by the other organizations like Everytown, Mike Bloomberg's group, and others, which I don't believe the majority of the March for Our Lives is anti-Second Amendment. They're looking for just really being able to go to school and not have to worry about getting killed. Does the NRA, does your organization have any common ground with the voice of March for Our Lives that could promote a better unity and faster results, which we're certainly not going to see, I don't think, out of Washington?
Well, I think everybody agrees that schools need to be made safe, and they should not be these soft targets that are vulnerable. Everybody agrees with that, okay? And again, where we disagree is in how you achieve that, okay? The premise behind this whole movement is essentially using tragedy as an excuse to ban hardware. And it's our position, meaning ANJRPC, it's our position that hardware bans don't accomplish much because criminals ignore them. The only one who follow hardware bans are law-abiding citizens. So no one's actually made safer. So look, in the final analysis, it's our opinion, and we think it's common sense, that in an emergency, okay, I mean, you can debate gun policy all day, but in an emergency, somebody has to be on site to stop a threat. And if you don't have that, look, I like to say it this way, okay? There's three lessons of these incidents that and tragedies that keep happening. One of them is evil is real. Another is the government can't protect you. And the third is if you're not prepared to protect yourself, you're being set up for slaughter. So, you know, reasonable people disagree, you know, on gun policy, but how can you disagree with the notion that at the point of an emergency, and remember, police are always there after the fact, at the point of an emergency, you ought to be able to defend yourself. You need someone there who can stop the threat. And if you don't have that, you're being set up for slaughter, frankly.
Once again, the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs will be hosting a rally on this Monday from 9 until 11:30 a.m. at the Trenton War Memorial. It's at 1 Memorial Drive in Trenton. Want to learn more details about parking, public transportation, whether or not they have some bus seats still available, some of the common sense ideas regarding signage and the visual message, and also whether or not you can or choose to go to the State House after the rally to sit in as the bills that we just talked about and focused on will be indeed debated. You can visit the website for the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs at anjrpc.org. He is their executive director, as well as New Jersey's only sitting NRA board member, Scott Box. Scott, thanks for being here today.
Thanks so much.